Good morning. I would encourage you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 10. I'm going to use a number of scriptures this morning, but they are all going to be on the screen with the exception of Jeremiah chapter 10 and Deuteronomy chapter 21. So we will begin in Jeremiah chapter 10 and we will end in Deuteronomy chapter 21. We have a number of visitors with us this morning. We're delighted that you're here. If you are from afar or if you live in the area, we have a reading schedule that is available on the table in the foyer. For the month of October, we will be reading texts from the Old Testament, and we will be thinking about the theme of Know the Lord Who Chastens. And so this morning, for a few minutes, I want us to introduce the theme to ourselves and to think about the definitions of the terms and to just sort of frame the month in our minds as we seek to know the Lord and to understand His person and will for our lives as we seek to see Christ in this and as we seek to conform to the image of Jesus. I believe the lessons and the classes that we will participate in this month together will glorify God and will be a blessing to us. Know the Lord who chastens. As we think about those words, as we think about our theme for the year of knowing the Lord, we are talking about understanding Him intellectually and building a working knowledge of His person and His will, but that's not the only aspect of the Hebrew and Greek words that are translated know. We want to grow in our knowledge of Him. We want to grow in our intellectual understanding of Him, but we also want to experience Him. We want to know Him as our Father in heaven, as our elder brother, as the Holy Spirit. And so we want to know the Lord, the true and living God, Yahweh, Jehovah, the great I Am. There are a lot of great texts that we could consider this morning together, but as we think about the definition of our God, in Jeremiah the 10th chapter, one of the fundamental problems during the time of Amos and Zephaniah and Jeremiah is this business of idolatry, of physical idolatry. And so against the backdrop of that particular problem, hear the word which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them. For the customs of the peoples are futile. They are vain. It is vanity. For one cuts a tree from the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not topple. They are upright like a palm tree, and they cannot speak. They must be carried, because they cannot go by themselves. Do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, nor can they do any good. Inasmuch as there is none like you, O Lord, you are great, and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? For this is your rightful due. For among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. But they are altogether dull-hearted and foolish. A wooden idol is a worthless doctrine. Silver is beaten into plates. It is brought from Tarshish. Cue Jonah. And gold from Uphaz, the work of the craftsman and of the hands of the metalsmith. Blue and purple are their clothing. They are all the work of skillful men. But the I Am, Yahweh, the Lord, is the true God. He is the living God. and the everlasting King. At His wrath the earth will tremble and the nations will not be able to endure His indignation. Why are we devoting ourselves to knowing the Lord? Because He is the true God. He is the living God. Know the Lord who chastens. In the Old Testament, there is one noun and one verb that communicates what we want to think about for the month of October. Know the Lord who chastens. So this word has to do with instruction. It has to do with education. But that's not all that it's about. It's also about correction. But it's not just about education and correction. It's also about discipline. It's also about training. But it's not just about instruction and correction and training. It's also about punishment. But it's not only about instruction and correction and discipline and punishment. It's also about blessing. As we think about the importance of knowing the Lord, I want us to think about one of the verses that we read this week. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 24. And as I looked at this verse in particular, my handy dandy New King James Version center column reference Bible pointed me to Psalm 6, verse 1. And once I got there, I went through sort of the same process where Psalm 6:1 is pointing me to Psalm 38:1. And so what we see in these two Psalms of David and in this appeal of Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 24, do not rebuke me in your anger nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. The plea of David and the plea of Jeremiah in Psalm 6:1, Psalm 38:1, and Jeremiah 10, verse 24 is based on their knowledge and understanding and experience of the true and living God. And I think we ought to just pause and let that wash over us. And as we have now for 9 months read the Old Testament, and as we have read the historical accounts from Samuel and the Kings and the Chronicles about David, and as we have attempted to look at the Psalms in the context of the lives of the people who wrote them and of those who received them in their time, and as we think about the Kings and the Chronicles and everything that we have read about the historical backdrop of Jeremiah, as we think about the man David and the man Jeremiah, what we see in these three verses is that these two men are pleading with God based on what they know about Him, what they understand about Him, and past experience. And what they're saying is, we know that You are the true and living God, and we know that You act. And when You act, we don't want You to act in Your anger. We don't want You to act in Your hot displeasure. We know that You chasten. And so we are pleading with You based on our knowledge and understanding and experience. Please don't chasten us in Your anger. What do we learn about God just from these three passages? Well, what the totality of God's Word is telling us. The point of God's Word is to reveal God. And what God is doing from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21 maybe, is revealing Himself to us. And He is saying, this is who I am. I am the true and living God. And one of the things that you need to know about Me is that I get angry and I have hot displeasure. And one of the other things that you need to know about Me is that I rebuke and that I chasten. David and Jeremiah learned those lessons. They didn't just understand them intellectually. They didn't just add those facts to their knowledge bank. They experienced that. And they didn't want no part of it. And they plead with God not to do it again. We do not want to combine the two sets. This is a bonus lesson. We do not want to combine the two sets in our own lives, beloved. Not now and not on the day of judgment. So know the Lord and act accordingly. As we think about framing this for the month, I want us this morning just to think about three quick points. As we think about the chastening of the Lord, it's a sign of something. It's a design of something. And our response to all this is important. Know the Lord who chastens. What is this chastening of the Lord a sign of? It's a sign of loving relationship. The design of His chastening is progressive. There's a progression to it. And behind every step of it is love. And at the end of the day, as we think about God Himself and how He acts, how He deals with us, He wants us to grow in His grace and in His knowledge and come to a loving understanding of His person and His work in our lives. So we want to lay that foundation this morning, and then we'll build on it for the rest of the month. Number one, know the Lord who chastens. It's a sign of relationship. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 5, know then in your heart. And we see a great emphasis in the prophets, and we'll see a great emphasis throughout the rest of the year on the heart, the individual heart. What is in your heart? What are you thinking about? And what's in your heart that's coming out of your mouth? And what's in your heart that is prompting your behavior? Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. If God is disciplining us, if He is chastening us, it is a sign that we are in a loving relationship with God Himself. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. Proverbs 13, verse 24. He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. So as we think about the Lord who chastens, if the Lord chastens us, if He disciplines us, it is a sign of a loving relationship. The Lord disciplines because He loves. He disciplines those that He loves as a father corrects the son in whom He delights. Now, as we think about the design of it, there is a loving progression to it. And as we read through Hosea and Amos and Zephaniah and Jeremiah, we need to see how layered this concept of chastening is. So the first aspect of it is instruction. So when we think about the language of God in Hosea chapter 11, for example, in Hosea chapter 11, He changes the metaphor from husband and wife to father-son. And He speaks to His people as when they were a baby, when they were a child, when they were just learning to walk. And He says, this is the relationship that we have. And from the time that you were born, this is what I've been doing for you. I've been instructing you. I've been teaching you. I've been chastening you. By definition, I've been instructing you. But that's not all God does when He chastens. Yes, He instructs, but when He tells us, okay, this is what I want you to do, and this is how I want you to do it, when we do it wrong, then God, in His chastening, corrects us. This is how my father treated me. From the time I can remember his voice, he was saying to me, this is what I want you to do, and this is how I want you to do it. And so probably 100 times out of 100, whatever it was he asked me to do, I did it wrong the first time. Because I'm just cool like that. I'm really good at doing things wrong the first time. And so because of the loving relationship that I had with my father, his first response to me doing it wrong was to say, "No, no, that's not how you do it. Let me show you again." And that is exactly how God has dealt with His people from the beginning. When you think about how long God waited before He punished the northern kingdom of Israel, when you think about how long He waited before He punished the southern kingdom of Judah, what had He been doing with these people since the book of Exodus? He had been instructing them. All along the way, He had been correcting them. And when He would instruct them and then correct them and say, "No, no, let's go over it again. Let me teach you some more. Let me reprove the mistake that you made. Let me correct it. Let me train you. Let me help you here." Is that not the way all of us who have been blessed with kids, is that not the way that we treat them when they're learning how to walk? I mean, those are some of the most precious memories in raising a child that you will ever have. I mean, and it's over so quick. And then they're just running away from you for the rest of their lives. But you instruct them and they fall, and you correct them, and then another step in the maturation process. And this is the progression of it. God didn't start with the discipline. My dad didn't start with the discipline, because that wouldn't make any sense. Why am I being disciplined? Look at the logical, loving progression of the chastening of the Lord. He instructs, He corrects, and then we demonstrate in our response that it's going to take more than a good lesson and a good talking to. It's going to take more than that. And part of the reason why it's going to take more than that is because foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And I can tell you at this point that I recognize what I couldn't recognize about myself back in the days, that there was a whole lot of foolishness bound up in there. And so the wisdom literature tells us that the foolishness that's bound up is going to need more than instruction and correction. It's going to need discipline. But to discipline before the correction is a mistake. And that is not how God deals with us. And the discipline before instruction is just nonsense, because how can you know what you're being punished for if you hadn't been told what's going to bring about the punishment? So this is the loving progression of God's chastening. He instructs, He corrects, He disciplines, and then, and only then, does He punish. An important text that we didn't read this week that I want to encourage you to take the time to read over the next couple of days as we think about this theme for the month is that going all the way back to Mount Sinai, before we ever leave Sinai to make our way to the Promised Land, in the book of Leviticus, God explained to them in chapter 26, "If you obey my voice, then, if you pay attention to my instruction, if you pay attention to my correction, if you pay attention to my discipline, then I am going to bless you abundantly. But if you don't pay attention to the instruction, if you don't pay attention to the correction, if you don't pay attention to the discipline, then I will punish you." That refrain just rings out throughout Leviticus 26, but it also rings out through the prophets. And what we have to appreciate about each one of these prophets is that God didn't just raise the prophet up, you know, the day before the Assyrians came. He didn't just raise them up the day before the Babylonians came. He had already sent Moses, and He had already sent David, and He had already sent Elijah and Elisha. And then He begins to raise up these other prophets, and every prophet is saying, look, you need to remember the instruction. You need to remember the correction. You need to remember the discipline, or God is going to punish you. There are different forms of punishment. Sometimes we take our kids' screens away from them. When they were smaller, we'd make them stand in the corner, a little time out. You just need a time out. My dad liked to spank me with his belt. My mom was good at with a switch. Those were their forms of rod of correction. But in Leviticus 26, we're not talking about screen time and timeouts and belts and switches. The language of Leviticus 26 ought to have gotten their attention. It sure got mine. And I'll tell you what I don't want none of. I don't want none of the punishment that's outlined in Leviticus 26. And so what are all the prophets doing from Mount Sinai to their day? They're just echoing Leviticus 26. They're just saying, hey, don't you remember the instruction we received at Mount Sinai? Don't you remember all these examples from Mount Sinai till now of God lovingly correcting us, of lovingly disciplining us? Y'all need to wake up, because this is the next phase in God's loving progression of chastening. It's punishment. And it's not going to be screen time and a timeout and a spanking. It's going to be much, much worse. It's going to be you're going to go to Assyria. It's going to be you're going to go to Babylon. It's going to be you're going to learn some hard lessons the hard way. You're going to be refined. You're going to be purified in a way that is not of your choosing. You're not going to get to choose how you get punished. You're not going to get to choose the diet you go on or the exercise regimen. Yahweh is going to choose. The true and living God is going to choose. And you're talking about some tough love. We're going to purge the idols from your heart. And it ain't going to be through some of these lesser forms of punishment. It's going to be through living in a foreign land and coming to understand that God loves you. And it's very serious not to love Him back, which is the point of the commandment, to express love. But even in all of this, what does God want us to understand as we're making our way to Assyria? I mean, this is the bed we've made, and now we got to sleep in it. And there's no one to blame but us. This is happening to me because of choices I made, of words I said and thoughts that I thought. I'm on my way to Babylon now, and this is my punishment. How am I going to respond to it? What am I to understand about this? The point of all of it is to bless us. The correction of the Lord, the chastening of the Lord, the discipline of the Lord, the punishment of the Lord has a purpose and an intent, and it is to bless. Bless is the man whom you chasten. The first thing that communicates to us is that we're in a loving relationship with the true and living God, because He whom He loves, He chastens. But there is a blessing in being corrected. There is a blessing in being disciplined. And at the end of the day, because foolishness is bound up in our hearts, there is a blessing to being punished. There are just some lessons that I learned growing up that I wouldn't have learned if my mom hadn't gone outside and got those switches off of that bush. My dad was the worst when it came to context like this, because I'd misbehave in the worship service. And I don't think that I ever once thought that I was misbehaving, but he thought I was. So he would take me out, and we'd get through the doors, and I don't know if anybody in the auditorium could hear it or not, but he just had this way of taking his belt off, where it just hit every belt strap on its way out. And before I ever got a lick, I was already regretting whatever I'd done in the auditorium that got me taken out. Why did he do that? So I can stand before you one day. And not be under the chairs carrying on, goofing off like I was. I didn't understand any of that then. But I do now. And I rejoice and I am glad in the gift that God gave me and my father. My dad took me out not to destroy me, but to correct me. Because I was acting a fool. May I just say to our Annandale family, we don't have any kids like me. And I rejoice in that and I'm glad. I appreciate how well behaved everybody is from the top down. There's an attentiveness here that is refreshing to me and I appreciate it. I'm not worthy of it, but He is. And to God be the glory concerning how you listen. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but He has not given me over to death. When we were trying to figure out how we were going to discipline our kids, when they were little, I said to an elder at the time, I said, I'm just afraid I'm going to kill them. And he said, oh, you won't kill them. And I hadn't killed them yet. I mean, my kids can say this about me, Psalm 118:18. Our dad has disciplined us severely, but he's not given us over to death yet. There's still time. And that's what Amos is saying. Look, I have instructed, I have corrected, I have disciplined. Here comes the punishment. And the punishment is going to be severe, but I will not totally destroy you. Jeremiah. Instruction, you don't want to hear it. Correction, you don't want to receive it. Discipline, hadn't made a lick or a dent in your heart. So, punishment is coming, but I will not make you a complete destruction. Revelation 3:19, the words of Jesus. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. So as we think about our response to all of this, what is the response to be to instruction? Well, to learn. What's the instruction? What's the response to be to correction? To learn better. Jason, this is what I want you to do and this is how I want you to do it. Okay, I attempt it the first time and I do it wrong. And then God says to me, no. Do it this way. Okay. Learn better. Do better. There were some times in which if my mom hadn't gotten the switches, I don't know that I would have learned better and done better. And I'll tell you, there's some other times where, you know, we got a little bit older and we're, you know, now car keys are getting taken away. And yeah, I learned some things through that. I learned to do better where I could get the car keys. Because I couldn't go get Amberly Shea if I didn't have the car keys. Learn better, do better. And here's the problem. And we're going to spend some time thinking about this. Lord willing, in 2 weeks, we're going to dive into this. What was the problem? They didn't learn better and they didn't do better. In fact, God says through Zephaniah, not only did they not learn better, but they rose early. They got up early so they could go do worse. Jeremiah would say it this way, after all the instruction and after all the correction and after all the discipline, they went backward and not forward. They proceeded from evil to evil. That's not the point. The point is to learn better and to do better and to return. Why had God instructed and corrected and disciplined? Because He wanted them to return. Yet you have not returned to me. So what's next? What's next is punishment. And for the north, that means Assyrian captivity. And for the south, that means Babylonian captivity. And they are going to experience some tough love. Which brings us to Deuteronomy chapter 21. I would like for everyone to turn to this. I'll give you time. Deuteronomy chapter 21. This will be the last text and one more slide that has a verse on it. So we're coming to the big finish here. So what is the response? Know the Lord who chastens. He instructs and corrects and disciplines and He punishes. What's the point of all of it? To bless us. So how shall we respond? Well, we need to learn better and we need to do better. And depending upon where we are in the process, we need to return. And the point of all of it is that we might repent. That we might turn from the thoughts of our idols, of the world, of the wisdom that is from below, and we might turn to the thoughts of the true and living God. That we might turn from the speech of the world to the language of God. That we might turn from the behavior of the world to conforming to the image of Jesus. That's the point. So look at how all of this is encapsulated in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 21. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother. Progression. We have instruction. We have correction. We have discipline. When they have chastened him, when they have disciplined him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of the city. And I want to tell you that if I'm living in these times and I am the stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey, which is who I was, and when my mom and dad had chastened me, which they did, if my mom and dad had gotten me up from whatever I was doing at our house to take me out to the elders of the city, to the gate of the city, I can tell you what I would have done. I would have said, as one of the kids who's not in our assembly this morning, who has been here since I have been here, she's been here in the last 4 years, as one of the kids said as she was being taken out of the assembly, "Please don't spank me, Mama." I would have been saying, "Please don't take me. I'll be better. I'll be good. I'll stop what has upset you. I won't do that again. Please, please, please." And I know that's what I would have said because I did say that for a lot lesser things. Because in my mind, the punishment that they were going to bring to me was just too great. So what do we have in verse 18? We have stubbornness, we have rebellion, we have disobedience. We have instruction and correction and discipline. And then we have punishment and we get to the gate and to the elders. Here's what mom and dad say. "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. And here is where things that were in his heart begin to express themselves in action. He's eating too much and drinking too much." What does Jesus tell us about those behaviors in Matthew 15? It's out of the heart that proceeds this kind of behavior. Whatever is in your heart. So what have they been doing? They've been instructing, they've been correcting, they've been disciplining, and now, where are we? Well, we're at the gate. And here's what we're going to do at the gate. "Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." Know the Lord who chastens. What is the point of all the instruction and all the correction and all of the discipline and all of the punishment that leads up to this. It's to bless and to prevent this from happening. This rebellious and stubborn person had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to do what? To learn better and to do better and to return and to repent. Do you know what I would have said when they picked up the stones? I've been like, I repent. I don't get the sense of that that's what's in the heart of the young man here who is stubborn and rebellion. And can I say to you, that's what we see in Hosea and Amos and Zephaniah and Jeremiah. It is the same stubborn, rebellious, disobedient, resistant heart that results in some finding themselves punished to the point of death. So where are we this morning in Christ? Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. What does God want to prevent in your life? He wants to prevent in your life you getting what you deserve. The people of God deserve to be punished a long time before God raised up the Assyrians and raised up the Babylonians. I deserve to be punished for my sins a long time ago, and yet here I am for such a time as this, and here you are. When you think about all the ways that you've been stubborn and rebellious against God, and you think about His patience and long-suffering and His love toward you this morning, that He has given you such a time as this, such a time and opportunity that you can think about your life and you can think about your relationship with God, and even now, you can choose to learn better and to do better and to return and to repent, all of us should be glad and thankful and praise the Lord. That's our God. My mom and dad were imperfect people and they disciplined me for a short time. And to all of our young people here this morning, I will tell you that I've been where you are and I know that you don't think it'll ever end. I just couldn't wait to leave. I could not wait to graduate high school and to get that summer behind me and to go. I've been there. Your parents have been there. We've all been there. But I look back on that part of my life now, and it was nothing. 18 years, just, you don't think it'll ever end. And then it's just, it's gone. And there's just no going back. It was a short time. And what you'll learn over time is that your parents did the best they could. But, and no matter what any of our experiences is, this is where we all have to land. Our God and Father is perfect. And He doesn't punish us when He shouldn't. And He doesn't discipline us when He shouldn't. And His discipline, His rod of correction and His form of punishment, it's right. He doesn't discipline us too long or too hard or too severely. Everything He does is right and good and for the purpose of blessing us. And the end game in all of this is that we might share His holiness so that we might be partakers of the divine nature so that we might experience glory and glorification. So in this process of sanctification, we're going to be instructed, we're going to be corrected, we're going to be disciplined, and we may even be punished in time. But the point of all of it is to bless us. Know the Lord who chastens. Have this loving relationship with Him. Understand the design of His chastening. And respond to it in a loving way that communicates to Him, I know you. I know you. And I know that your heart is set on my good. If you're not a Christian this morning, it may be that God has disciplined you to humble you so that you might see your need to repent of your sin and to be forgiven. If you have not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, may I say to you this morning, there is love for you. If there is love for me and there is love for this other Jason over here and love for Greg Scott, love for John Slack and for Taylor Dunbar and Tao, there is love for you. The people of God, they just misunderstood God completely in the day of Amos. And Amos said, look, this isn't about your total destruction, but you're going to learn some hard lessons the hard way. And oh, by the way, when all of this is said and done, God's going to raise up the tabernacle of David in this house that God is going to erect in Christ is not going to be limited to the Jewish people, but Gentiles are going to come and there is going to be love and grace and mercy and compassion and forgiveness for everybody in Christ Jesus. You can be forgiven and you can be saved. Do you have the faith to come? While we stand and while we sing, we encourage